mind, welcome to Risky Business 2, sponsored by our good friends in the big yellow box. That would, of course, be Symantec. Now, don't forget to subscribe to both Risky Business and Risky Business 2 at risky.biz/feeds. This is the final of our podcast series recorded at SharkaCon. From next week, you'll be hearing reports prepared by our roving reporter, Paul Craig, at New Zealand's OWASP Day. SharkaCon is a hacker conference held annually in Honolulu, Hawaii. And as you'll hear, the conference didn't limit itself just to digital security. Lockpicking aficionado Deviant Olam was there to give a talk about locks and, curiously, how to fly with locked luggage. Now, if you've travelled within the USA, you may have opened up your bags one day to find a friendly note from the TSA telling you that they've searched your bag for your safety, looking for bombs and things like that. Well, as you'll hear, there's a way to legally fly with a locked bag that they can't get into, and curiously, it involves flying with firearms. Only in America, folks. So here he is, Risky Business's own Paul Craig, catching up with Deviant at SharkaCon to talk about locks.
So Deviant gave a really amazing talk here at SharkaCon on, I'll let Deviant explain it.
Thank you. Well, as part of the focus of lockpicking and physical security, which is my main thing at conferences, I always want to put high security locks in new situations, try to get better security in places where people don't think it's possible. And after becoming very tired of having my luggage searched and opened, sometimes legally, sometimes illegally, I thought there must be a better way to lock your bags when you fly. Even though you think that security screening and procedures mean that you have to have your bags opened over and over, that's really not true. I learned that there is one way you can fly with a proper heavy-duty lock, never letting anyone in your bag, and that's by flying with firearms.
Now, when you say a heavy-duty lock, how heavy-duty are you talking?
Well, I use locks made by a Finnish company called Abloy. It's the Abloy Protec. It's one of the only locks that currently has no known pick or bypass available. The TSA, the baggage handlers, even if the bag went to a policeman for some reason, none of them are allowed or probably even able to open my bags.
So, in the same line, I mean, you're quite a lockpick guy, and you run the lockpick village at practically every conference around here. You yourself, have you tried to pick these locks?
Oh, of course. I'm always trying to learn new things, but I wouldn't even have a prayer. I can pick occasional old generations, older styles of rotating disc lock with a lot of time and a lot of special tools, but I could never approach a Protec. I don't know anyone who can.
So your trick is basically that you fly carrying guns intentionally. Do you fly with, are we talking like fully automatics? Are we talking...
I usually leave the Class 3 gear at home. I do, however, fly with lethal firearms just as frequently as I fly with non-lethal firearms. And the difference being, most people are surprised to learn that, at least in the United States, the federal laws for flying with firearms apply to any device that expels a projectile with gunpowder. So flare guns, stage guns. You can fly with those and lock your bags. If I'm flying to a gun non-friendly area, I'll use a flare gun. If I'm flying to my friends in Texas, I'll just bring the 1911.
Okay, now you said something there that I found a little interesting. You said that it was heavy to fly with. Now, I've actually seen photos of your luggage. Maybe you could just explain what your luggage actually composes of.
I fly using 81mm mortar round cases. The explosive ordnance, of course, is not in there. They're just surplus military cases. They're probably the most rugged luggage I've ever found, and I buy them for $15 surplus.
Do you ever have them break or get dented?
Never. No, I have the same six that I ever bought are the same six I travel with. Hopefully, usually not all six. But I'll give them a new coat of paint once a year, and that's it.
So I've seen the Lockpick Village that you run at a few conferences, and just kind of wondering if you could explain to the listeners what the Lockpick Village is really all about.
Well, the Lockpick Village started probably, I would say, from our Dutch friends and German sport picker groups at the European cons, especially the summer cons and camps. There were always lockpick enthusiasts and sport picking games that took place for probably the past 5 to 6 years now, but I would say it would be at What the Hack or one of the other University of Twente events in Holland that they started dedicating whole tents and whole areas to just lockpicking for nothing but lessons. And eventually, I really think it started because you can give a talk about lockpicking only so many times. Now, with it being popular, half the audience will already know it. The other half is so learning that they want to stop you every 5 seconds, and it's not fair to anyone. So we said, let's just set up a whole area where people can learn at their own pace and learn every little step, advanced things, beginners, all at once. The motto of the Lockpick Village is learn, touch, do.
It's pretty good. I've seen that you show people how to break out of handcuffs, you show people how to break like padlocks and things like that. Have you ever had any law enforcement people or anyone come up to you and say, look, why are you teaching people how to do this?
No, we've had plenty of law enforcement people come up and say, when's the next talk going to be? And they want to learn the advanced techniques. We're actually addressing law enforcement in Malaysia this year at Hack in the Box. We've had law enforcement approach us for private trainings and private consultations at other events around the world. But no, they're always genuinely interested to learn. In fact, most people know that if you spread the knowledge out there and you teach people about high security and how to use locks properly, you're actually making people more safe. Criminals aren't going to use high security bypasses. Criminals really aren't even going to use many low security bypasses. The criminals who want to do things badly already know criminal knowledge. We're teaching the common people how to invest and do things wisely.
Okay, what's the most interesting lock, or should I say, the lock in the most interesting place that you've picked?
The lock in the most interesting place that I've picked? Wow, that's a hard question to answer.
Maybe just like the type of place. You don't have to specifically name places and locations, obviously.
Well, I do a lot of work auditing security of buildings and being brought into companies to either walk through with their assistance or without their assistance, trying to just break things open. So we'll assume that any of these stories apply to those jobs. I've opened roof doors. I've made elevators go where they're not supposed to. I've opened a lot of things without a lot of tools on me. I'm a situation, perhaps, where you're just talking with someone and you point out a lot. You say, boy, that sure is a bad lock you're using there. And they say, really? What's bad about it? I don't really have any tools. Well, let's see what I can find. You dig out some bent pieces of metal or maybe a bump key if you have one on your key ring. And you say, can you hand me that rock on the ground? And a couple of whacks, a couple of twists and turns. It's really the unexpected situation that comes up in the spur of the moment that surprises me more than times when I'm fully equipped and trying something advanced.
Right, okay. I've seen the Gringo Warrior competition, I guess you'd call it, that you run in the Lockpick Village. I wonder if you could just explain what that is to some of our listeners.
Oh, sure. Gringo Warrior is kind of my baby, and I really, I have so much fun watching people enjoy it everywhere I go. For the longest time, lockpicking games were fun, and they were very challenging, but mostly just for lockpick enthusiasts. I really have to thank people like Kai Goth and Doc and the DC-719 crew at DEF CON for years. They ran the lockpicking contests, and they were wonderfully challenging contests. But they were mostly consisting of seasoned veteran pickers trying to open harder and harder locks with timing involved. That's still how the Dutchmen do it in their Dutch Open, the International Lockpick Championship. Now, that's a brilliant way of really challenging advanced people. But the commoner who can't really pick very well or is just learning either can't play or if they're watching, doesn't really get into the game. Gringo Warrior is a scenario-based escape game. We pretend that you've been kidnapped by assailants somewhere south of the border. We put you in a fictitious jail and we say these people are going to take away your freedom and they're never going to let you go home unless you break out with your own wits and your own skill. And we give people a chance to pick not high advanced locks, just locks that you'd see in everyday crummy doors, just to have fun. Can you get out of cuffs? Can you open a door? Can you knock over a giant security guard who's there, the man who's trying to get you to bribe him? Can you get away from evil people and have fun? That's the big part. It's supposed to be fun for everyone, the people watching as much as the people playing. And we've had it all around the world and keep taking it wherever we're invited.
Plus, it's, I guess, really good training for when you do actually get knocked out across the border and you have to escape out of a jail.
I won't say anything about that.
Maybe this game is based on a previous experience. So Deepin, what other conferences are you going to this year where our listeners might be able to see you and come see the Lockpick Village?
Well, I know that, of course, this summer, as with every summer, we never, ever miss Black Hat and DEF CON. That's our favorite time of year, next to maybe ShmooCon. Later in the fall, I know we will be at Echo Party, that's down in Buenos Aires. We will be at DeepSec, and that's in Vienna. Also in Vienna, there's a small event called PlumberCon It's our friends from the Meta Lab and other hackerspaces are organizing that just before the summer event HAR takes place, Hacking at Random, in Amsterdam. We'll be at all of those. Gringo might not make it to the small summer events because it's very heavy to fly with, but I guarantee it will be down at Echo Party. It'll probably be in Malaysia for Hack in the Box. And if you ever wonder exactly where, you can always visit deviating.net. Not only are all of the talks and slides and videos that we have for everything posted, but my schedule is posted as well, and you can track me all around the globe.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for having a chat with me, Deviant.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thanks for being here.